Have you got some inside mail
on Sunday? And I just reckon there's a little sniff there at the moment. Rankin's a different kettle. He wants to be...
Have you got some goss?
He wants to be
What's
known.
What's your mail, Biggles?
And he
Spit
wants
it
to
out.
Be...
Don't just flirt around the edges. Tell us what you know.
You normally just splurt it out and then get it wrong.
Normally
and then
stuff it up.
This podcast demands honesty, Biggles.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's, The
Friday
Bump.
Night footy is back at Big Shed Brewing, Adelaide's home of fine brewing with a tap room and kitchen open 7 days a week. Head to www.bigshed.beer to book now.
The Bump Podcast, how good is it? Number one rating, and we've got some blokes right off the stench, including myself, Rhett Biglands. I've been just cast in the host chair in the last 2 seconds. But I've got the pig, Tom Rockliffe, right alongside me. We'll get into him. And Sam Jacobs, and of course, boring Rupert Rashido as well. How are you, Sauce? We're going to start with you, but... it's great to see you being in here because we've got some intelligence Thanks, with the Rucks.
Yeah, it's good, mate. We can team up here on the other boys.
No doubt about it. But your mob, Rocky, Port Adelaide, surely the finals are done now. Two games out, put a line through it.
Yeah, going to be really hard to make finals now. I would have thought for them. They got who they got? The Giants this week, Melbourne, Geelong, Collingwood, Richmond in the next five. So I think it's too far gone. Two games in percentage. They were brave, but their middle quarters over there, they just weren't there. They didn't show up in those second and third quarters.
Where do they got to improve next year, Rocky, do you think? What's the key area that Port will be focused on over the summer?
Well, I think they've got to continue to grow. And we've seen with their key injuries at the start of the year with Aaliyah out and Dixon, their game plan didn't stack up because I think they were so Dixon reliant. They've started to tweak that. I think it's visible for everyone now. The ruckman is an issue when Scott Lysette's not there. I think they've been really undermanned and they got belted in clearances on the weekend. They
would
went
they go for
minus
Brody
17.
Grundy, would they?
I'm not sure. I think it'd be a fair paycheck to get him over, but if Collingwood potentially paid some, you'd imagine that where's Sam Hayes? Like, he's not playing at the moment as well. So I think what he does in the ruck and around the ground is okay in the air, but away from that, I think he's got his challenges trying to cover the ground.
If Collingwood said, righto, we'll pay a couple of hundred, you can have him for 750 and maybe first round, second round pick, would you do it?
I think you'd have to entertain the idea. I think Grundy's...
You could leave that money for the likes of Rosie and Butters. They need some cash later on. You can't lose those guys.
Yeah, but they've just re-signed for two and three years. So
I wouldn't be throwing that sort of... They couldn't afford it, surely. Lysette's got to be on good coin.
I was going to say, you're invested in Lysette, so you can't invest in Grundy and Lysette.
No
chance. You look at a lot of the ruck combinations that are working, like Melbourne's...
Start calling you Caro Ruth, right, that sort of stuff.
Hey, I didn't say Brody I Grundy. Would do it. I'm asking the pig if he'd do it.
Well, I think if... It's going to be an issue moving forward. I think they've got young rucks coming through. Vizentini, I think, will be a player, but he's 18, 19, and you know it takes a long time. So there might have to be a little gap filler, and if Grundy...
Bryn Teagle.
Wanted to... Yeah, well, exactly right. He was pretty
nickname?
Good.
What's his nickname? Just, so many options with Bryn Teagle.
Well, again, he came on, and he was actually...
Tickler.
Little left tickler.
He was pretty good in his first outing, and it only lasted a half, but he showed enough signs.
Yeah. Now, Hayes, I'm not buying the feedback at the moment that's put out there in the public from the coaching staff in regards to his work rate. I think there's more to it. Either he's not listening or something's not right there because I know he had COVID protocols and couldn't go up against Darcy, who mauled you. It's like they talk about the advantages of having non-ruckman in at the centre bounce, and of course I'm biased, but it's like when you have a $2 favourite, Rupert, and you've followed it. It's on rolling up for its fifth start. It gets beaten because you listen to some idiot and put $10 on a 20-1 pop. You know the favourite's going to win. A ruckman
so
will
play
win.
The ruck.
Play the ruck. And 100%. After the game, you look at it and you try and polish your turd and go, the two mids were okay. No, play a genuine ruckman. And Witz, we saw that game against Gold Coast.
Yeah, the clearances haven't hurt them until the weekend. So they got belted in clearance on the weekend. The previous 2 weeks, they actually won clearances. But I thought Witz was dominant and then Darcy. So the two ruckmen have potentially been best on ground the last 2 weeks against them. So
what's the knock on Hayes?
He can't run. So I think it is they play a team defence, essentially, and they feel like at times they're defending with 17 when he's there. But do you then just change your style a little bit and defend with 17 and just get the ruck to
but
go on ruck?
His centre bounce stuff's actually pretty good, Sammy. So like you go against Darcy on the weekend, I think it's the stopgap works when you're playing against these teams that are down the bottom or aren't as good. But you come up against a Darcy, who he just mauled him on the weekend. He completely took over, and I reckon they probably got away with it against Wits the week before as well.
So can Hayes get fit enough? Can he have another season or two over the summer and get there, or is he going to get traded?
Well, that's
Is it an attitude thing? Does he need to change his work rate?
From all reports, he stayed here in the off-season, didn't go back to Victoria to train to get fitter and get better. So he has the right mindset and wants to do it. Whether he's capable of doing it, whether his body will allow him to be able to cover the ground at AFL level, I'm not sure. The jury's out on that. But as I sit here, my feeling would be they'd be looking to probably move him on.
Will Robbie Gray play next year?
I think it's in his own right if he wants to. I think we've seen him get injured in round one with his knee, so he hasn't been at 100%. He came back for the first game on the weekend, and I think he's still capable of playing going forward. I don't think there's anyone banging the door down at Port Adelaide to take his spot as a small forward. Fantasia's had his injury concerns, which, again, reared their head, and he'll probably miss another couple, but I don't think there's a small forward at Port Adelaide that's going to take his spot.
So all the senior players stay for next year?
Well, who are you covering? I think so, yeah. I don't see...
Motlop, maybe?
Motlop, there's talk about that, but
depends if they need his money off the books for a big inclusion.
Well, I don't think he'd be on huge money anyway moving forward. He re-signed a one-year deal last year, so it's not going to be massive coin. Again, who's knocking down the door to replace him?
So if the coaching staff put a line through it, is it rebuild time? Are they still talking rebuild? Are they talking knocking on the window?
They don't need to rebuild. They've got a good list, Biggles. Since Zip and Five, they've been pretty good. I think they're better than where they are on the ladder, but they're not good enough to win the flag. That's the tricky position to be in. They need to, if they're going to win a flag, they need to shoot the lights out like they did that year with Rosie, Butters and Dersma. If they could have another off-season like that in the recruiting box, and then you're right back in it. They got six or eight gun kids there.
He's playing the kids. He's talking about Taj as well, who probably hasn't been best on ground in the sample. Taj Schofield getting a run as an emergency. And we've already seen Jace Burgoyne, who performed pretty well.
Yeah. What comes first? Because they've put, obviously, so much of their game plan is based around Aaliyah and obviously Dixon up forward. You take those two out and we've seen the effect. They go Zip and Five. Do you actually need to build more, I guess, a stronger underbelly, or do you keep backing them in that's the game style? Because the game style works.
They're pretty important players, though. You take your best two out of a lot of sides.
I agree.
And I've always said Dixon is their most important player, and I still say that. So you could say that. If you took Petraka and Oliver out of Melbourne, I reckon that'd be a fair bit different.
I think they've got to continue to work on their ball movement, which they have, and Marshall's been a beneficiary of that. You've seen him grow this season with Dixon not there, but the ball movement going inside 50 needs to continue to work and get better, and I think they've made improvement, and Ruth spoke about it before. They've been 7-3, I think, since that 0-5 start. They lost on the weekend to Freo over there, just Richmond on the road there on a Thursday night, so they're going up against good teams. So as Ruth said, I think their best is still good enough. So I think they'll bounce next year.
And the coach, definitely going to be there. I mean, earlier on in the year, there was a lot of speculation if he didn't make finals, he wasn't going to be there. But then you hear Koshy couldn't have been more clearer. We've heard Matthew Richardson, the CEO, say that he's going to be there. So it sounds like he's going to be coaching Port Adelaide next year.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't there next year. Yeah. I think he's contracted for season 2023.
Big year for the club next year then for coach and senior players, you know, at the end of 2023.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think there's anyone out there that's maybe can do a better job than Kenny. I'm not, like, there's obviously Alistair Clarkson. Does he want to come to Adelaide? I don't think so. I think Ken's pretty safe.
Let's move on to the Crom, so you can take the ball and throw a few deliveries at old Rupert. He can put the pads on. But the Crom at the moment, of course, Rocky, you were at the game as well, calling for Triple M. The same old story, isn't it, though? Three quarters of persistent pressure. Not a lot of polish to finish it off to go with the big guns.
I think we said it in the call. That's the one thing that Crows have to work on in the end of this season and moving forward in the preseason is their skills. I think you can't question their intent and competitiveness. They were right in that game for three quarters and took it up to the best team in the competition, but their skill level is so poor.
Yeah, look, they're the younger side in the competition. I think that's quite common with younger players. And then if you have a heap of them, you're going to do that. So I think they'll improve their skills. I think they can, you know, with time and year after year, bring in players with better skills when the club can acquire more players like a Jordan Dawson. And, you know, there's plenty of good talent on the list that are skillful that aren't even in that side yet, that or players in that side that will get better. So I think that'll come. That's only a matter of time. I thought they were really good on the weekend.
I don't think it was the kids that made skill errors on the weekend, though. We've seen the older players do it.
Haitley had a couple of mares.
Haitley, but we've seen Tex turn it over. We've seen a lot, yep. Like Keys turns it over a lot. So yep. I don't think it's necessarily just kids.
No, it's not just kids, but it's a combination of that and a heap of kids in the side, I think.
The one player that goes forgotten with all that is Seedsman as well. He was in this All-Australian squad of 40 last year, yep. Which I reckon he actually drives a lot of the boys' ball movement.
The wings.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm. And not only that, if he's playing, then that frees up Dawsmore to actually get off the chain a bit. So obviously Dawson comes in, he's having a fantastic year, but his foot skills are pretty much just replacing what we miss with Seedsman. But hopefully he can get himself right. All things seem to be tracking pretty well. And if he comes back in, I think he'll add plenty of run and obviously ball use too.
You two know the Crows better than us two up here at the moment. You reckon that the players they've drafted have the capability to have the skill attribute? Because we see like a Dacos coming in and dominating. Of course, yeah, high-end father drafted.
He's the rare exception. Yeah. He's the standout.
He's a kid coming in with amazing skills. Now, we've seen Schomburg with some incredible skills as well. He's just dropped off a little bit. But so you're confident the skills are in there. They're just not executing.
I think it's a lot harder for a young kid to perform in an average side than it is to perform in a good side. Mm. It's much, much harder to play well as a kid in a poor side. Absolutely no doubt about it. And Clayton Oliver, he was seen as a very ordinary kick about 4 or 5 years ago. And now they don't talk about it anymore. You always get better as you get older. Now, do they still need to bring in more talent? Absolutely they do. They haven't got it set. But the Crows are still, maybe 1, 2, 3 years away from being a top-end football side. But I think they're on the right track.
How many more list changes do you need, though? Because you've had 22 over the last 3 years. Are you saying that it still needs to turn over a bit more? Because you've gone younger and less... less experience each year.
Yes.
So do you have to go again back to the well to trade? Like 22 new faces, it's a fair few. You think you'd get that right.
That's what a rebuild is about, Rocky, is turning over your list and getting players in and then giving them an opportunity to play. And that's what the coaches have been doing this year. There's players that have been given games and given numerous games. Look at Parnell in front of Luke Brown as a perfect example. Or Schomburg goes back. Berry gets more game time. They've put Crouch out of the side and they've put Berry, working through the middle with and Schomburg and Saligo in there on the weekend. So it's a balance of getting games into these kids. You've got to draft them. You've got to be patient, give them time, and then find out if they're good enough. And if they're not good enough, then you've got to delist them and get more in. It doesn't happen. None of the sides at the top of the ladder did it over a couple of years. Freo have been the quickest with 7 years. Melbourne longer, Brisbane longer, Carlton longer, St Kilda longer. It doesn't happen overnight when you do a rebuild.
And geez, it was emotional, Ruth, still on the Crows game there with Curls and the tribute that was played at halftime. How'd you survive the week? I mean, you almost had me choking up when you were trying to give a speech on Channel 7.
Oh, I've shed a few tears this week. Even on the way in today, I was talking to Grantley Filkey, who's a West Adelaide Crows and Collingwood champ. And he just touched so many people. The way he coached and the way he treated you as a player, and he was just a rare human being. I think he's the end of an era. You look at those old school, whether it's Kennedy or Barassi or Curley or Witten, they are from another era. I mean, the man, I just laugh at some of the stuff he still does. About a year ago, I went up, it might have been a couple of years ago now, took KG up one day and took a couple of my
kids. You drove up with him?
Yeah, and went yabbing. And,
what, 2 hours in the car with KG?
Great, I had to get him out of Adelaide and scoop him up there. We go catch a heap of yabbies, and then we're sitting out in the front of Curls' shack, and these bloody white cockies are giving us the shits, and Curls goes, Bob, go and get the gun. So Bob, off she goes, come back in there. KG's going, you can't get a gun. You can't get a gun. What are you doing? And he won't kill. She turns it up and goes, bang. Shoots his bloody cocky. Feathers go everywhere. Bloody down comes the bird. Lands right at KG. Oh, he shot the bird. He shot the bird. Oh, man. Just stuff like that going on up there. He's... shooting ducks, shooting rabbits, stealing the abbeys, catching fish. He's just an unbelievable person.
It's just so sad. I mean, to hear Sticks Kernahan say that natural causes were never going to kill him, you thought when he dived into the river that time and broke his neck, I should have done a suey or something, he said. But I remember the 1999 state game. Is that too many nines? 1999 state game.
Yeah.
And it was the last ever State of Origin on the MCG, South Rovers, Victoria. I was playing for SA in the Sample versus the Victorian Sample team. And Kells, of course, he was state footy. And the pre-game breakfast, you've got the SANFL players and the AFL players all having breakfast together. At any rate, Kells came over because I was sitting next to Pav. Came over with Paul Roos, who was in the brekkie room, as well as Ando. And Greg Anderson was part of the state team, and he went to introduce us. And Ando had looked at us, and he, of course, he wanted, it was four of us sitting there, and he goes, everyone knew Matty Pavlich. This is Matty Pavlich. And Kells goes, oh, yeah, I know your old man, Steve. What a champion he is. He's fantastic. He's got the best skills in the world. And bloody, he spent like 20 minutes talking to him. And Rosie's just sitting back. And then Ando turned and saw Gavin Colville, and he went, that's Gavin Corville. I think he just got his name. And then he looked at Stephen Hall. He didn't know his name. And he goes, and this is Rex Biglins. Yeah, oh, Rex Biglins. And Kells has come over to me and he goes, you know what you need to do, Rex? You need to extend your arms when you're marking, pal. That was it. He was starving hard, but geez, he was fair.
He's a champion fella. Honestly, one of the best ever. And it'll be a very sad day when they send him off in a couple of weeks with a state funeral. And you don't last forever. And he's 88. He had a great innings and put a lot into those years. So it's just when you get the call when he's not crook and someone dies, it's just a real shock for everyone. So
we'll change tact, of course. Dusty Martin. That is Sam McClure, isn't he your mate, Roo? he's firing out there that he's going to change clubs. He's throwing out that he's going to change clubs, isn't he?
Well, there is talk about him going to Sydney.
Well, Dim has given him the all clear as well.
No, they all have.
Yeah, everyone's
still got 2 years to run. Imagine the money he's on.
I don't think he leaves.
You reckon?
I think he stays.
How does that work?
I just don't know how they get it done financially wise. Yeah. Both clubs up there are obviously pressed.
Yeah,
pressed cap wise.
But he's got a year to go next year with what, 10 mil? How does that work?
I don't know. It's strange that Sam McClure had come out and back over it again yesterday. Given that, you know, this had been dropped a couple of months ago. Don't know what's going on with Dusty. I mean, he's talking about Neil Curley passing away. Dusty's had a big 12 months. You know, a lot of the stuff that happened with his dad just before he died, I think there'd be a lot playing on out in Dustin Martin's head at the moment. He's always sort of battled with that side of things, the mental side of things. He's a tricky individual from his background that he's had and everything. So I can understand that there's a fair bit going on in his head, and maybe he wants to go to Sydney and play footy up there. But geez, if you're Sydney or GWS, you want to make sure that his head's in the right place to perform if you're going to give a bit away to get him.
Well, if GWS get Clarko and he,
I don't think he wants to go there.
Moral.
Takes Dusty with him. Do they then become in the premiership window, the Giants? Because Clarko's not going to coach. I think he's been on the record of saying he's not going to coach a team from the bottom.
Mm. He's also said
he doesn't want to go to Western Sydney, hasn't he?
I'm not sure. Lots reported.
He had a meeting with him. No, he met with him last week. That's his best chance of making a flag in the next 4 years for his legacy.
It was reported on Monday night that he met with GWS to have a meeting. Whether that happened or not, we're not sure, but all of a sudden, that changes the dynamic around the Giants. If you get Dustin Martin and Alistair Clarkson, potentially the best player of the last 10 years,
they're
and the best coach.
They're a fair way off it at the moment, though, aren't they?
The Giants aren't the team they were a few years ago. Like they've got a lot of kids in now. Like you think
you left?
I was probably the end of the old boys that were rolling in. But you know, with Mumford going, obviously Shaw going, all those types, they're very young. So like you're saying, Rude, they're not as close as what some other teams may be that may be interested in Clarko.
They just seem to play well when they want to play well and float along when they float along, don't they, GWS? They've got so many stars in that side, but they just can't consistently get it done.
No, I think, it would be interesting. Obviously, they've had the change with Leon there and Spike's come in and released them a fair bit, but I think you're right. I think there needs to be someone to come in, and it could be your boy, could be Kenny Hankley maybe going up there.
Don't throw that up at him.
No, but Dusty was best on ground in the West Coast game before he ripped his hammy. So I think he's mentally right. I just don't know.
This space then, eh? It might be an interesting trade period.
Clayton Oliver stitching up 7 years at $7 million spondoolers. What do you reckon about long-term contracts, Pig?
I like the long-term contract, not for an inside bid, though. I think he has the potential to be banged up because the way he plays, he's so contested. 7 years is a long time. So I'd be happy with a 3 or 4 year deal for him, and then you can negotiate again. But 7 years is a long time.
But he's not going to sign a 3 or 4 year deal. That's the issue with football at the moment. He's going to become a free agent, and he's going to want whatever he wants. That's what they do. They hold you to ransom these days. So you can say 3 or 4 years, but you end up losing them.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, I wouldn't sign him for seven.
Reckon their hand was forced.
What do you do though, Rocky? Like, you're not going to let him walk.
Well, you know how contracts work. You can do a 4 or 5 year, yeah. 3 or 4 year deal, and then put triggers in there. If you play X amount of games, if your body's still good, yeah. then we'll give you a 2 year extender. So you can put a 4 year with a 2 on top of it or something like that.
Was he a free agent next year?
He'd be close. He's been around for a while.
Clearly, that's all it is. Like, all the good players sign until they're a free agent and then just get the milking out and just milk the club and just go...
Squeezing the teats.
Squeezing the teats. And Goody, you know, your clubs just need your stars. You need your stars playing well. He's durable. He's a gun. You know, they've locked up him and Petraka now. I don't mind it. It's not ideal, but you just get held to ransom. You got no choice sometimes.
Well, we've seen that Jordan Dawson's being labelled the recruit of the year. I think there's probably only three others that you could argue against. Do we all think he's been the recruit of the year?
Who are the three others?
So you'd say Hewitt at the Blues.
Stengel.
Yep. Stengel as well. So there's probably four. I think Brody at Fremantle has been really important for them through the midfield. And Marbiel Chow at the Suns.
Well, you said you're prepped for this topic and you've got three names written down. Is that your prep?
I went through the list of who changed clubs and they're the only other three that you could, and Stengel.
You so prep like four. My daughter for kindy, you do. Seriously, that's it. Three names written down.
I went through everyone that changed clubs and they're the only ones that have performed to the level.
You didn't even have Stengel.
Well, you came up with
good
him.
Bloody prep. Christ almighty, no wonder this Razbar podcast is stinking the world out. What's it called? Rock the Razbar! So
how Dawson, good is Stingle going?
Just yeah, a bit too well, really.
I've had kittens a few times watching him. But look, everyone knew he had bucket loads of talent. Yeah. He's always had talent. Richmond saw that. Crows saw that. Geelong prepared to give him another go after his off-field indiscretion. And that, you know, clubs don't take that lightly. Certainly Geelong don't that as well. They, you know, it's all about culture. Yep. Chris Scott said a few weeks ago that's why they wouldn't be going for Jordan De Goey, but they're happy to take a punt on a lad who gets done with drugs. So, but he's had a great year. It's always, once again, what we said before about young players, small forwards, it's much easier to be a good small forward when you've got two good big men. You know where to run. You know where the ball's going to drop. And the ball's coming in quicker and faster. So they're moving the ball quicker than they ever have. He's in the best side he's ever been in. And no coincidence, he's playing his best footy.
He looks in the best nick, don't you reckon, Sauce?
Yeah, he absolutely looks. He looks fit.
Seen him at the Eagles and his time at the Crows. Yeah.
I think the thing with him is that he's playing for, obviously, one of the hottest teams in the competition as well. Like Marbiel Chol, he's obviously, Chol's having a great year, but, you know, the Suns aren't really quite at that finals level yet. They've improved, though, haven't they? They have, absolutely.
Something's happened at the Suns. They have bought into team defence and they just look like there's a better energy around the whole footy club.
Stewie's had success everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
At every club. So yeah, he obviously knows what winning takes. Yeah,
it took a while. And well done to the recruiters up there getting Chol and Casbolt, because Ben King's out. Yeah. Let's not forget that. Yeah. They're the most important player, really. They haven't had a forward line just about the entire time they've been in the competition. So to get Casbolt and Chol to give them a little bit of a target up there, it's made a huge difference for them.
You don't rate Charlie Dixon and Tom Lynch?
Well, they've left. And to be there when
they were kids.
I love both of them. I remember walking past them. I reckon it was their second or third year in the airport, and I was looking up going, how bloody tall are these two blokes? Charlie Dixon and Tom Lynch, they were stars.
Speaking of small live wire, what do you call them, hybrid forwards, hybrid Toyota Camrys, there's a gun at Gold Coast, Isaac Rankin, who would be amazing in the Adelaide forward line. Adelaide Crows forward line.
Amazing in any forward line.
He's a star. But
we're talking against if Adelaide continue on their trajectory and overtake the Gold Coast, I know we're debating whether or not who's going ahead of each other. But Rankin in Adelaide's lineup would be off the charts.
I think that's what Roos touched on as well. I think everyone up there at the moment at the Suns have bought into that culture. So he's going to be hard to rip him out of there now that he's sort of set and he's starting to find his feet.
I don't reckon he would.
Lukosius.
No. I reckon he's different to Loco. I was with Loco. Lukosius.
Have you got some
inside
mail
on Sunday? Mm. And I just reckon there's a little sniff there at the moment. He does enjoy, like, with Jack and his father, like, they're pretty level-headed. They just want to play footy. Rankin's a different kettle. He wants to be...
Have you got some goss?
He wants to be
What's
known.
What's your mail, Biggles?
And he
Spit
wants
it
to
out.
Be...
Don't just flirt around the edges. Tell us what you know.
You normally just splurt it out and then get it wrong.
Normally
and then
stuff it up.
This podcast demands honesty, Biggles.
What have you got? No, you got something. You're sitting
said
on
enough.
It.
There's conversations around the place at the moment where he's just having a look, looking back here, and it's nowhere... He's not even entertaining Port, man. I just reckon... The Crows are half a sniff.
Ooh, ranking to the Crows.
And I reckon that the results they got, the results they got out of Eddie Betts, and everyone said it was overs, and that's the sticking point with
so
you.
So what are you paying him?
With you and your tight wallet and reading your tight wallet.
Fair dinkum. How can we have a tight wallet when our cap was full?
Just pay what they're worth.
What's he worth?
Find some ways to get in at the Stepney Hotel or the Elmer or something on the side. Then
dodgy.
Do that.
Yeah, do
that's
that.
Worked over the years.
No pubs left.
No.
Who's got them?
True. Did you get a pub?
What are you going
to do? A pub source? Everyone else seemed to get in there.
Danger had one and lost it, didn't he? Danger had one and lost it.
So rank it to the Crows.
Yeah, so you find salary cap space for him.
Well, Matt Crouch out. Does he go?
And you put him top five in your payment salary at $750.
$750?
I'm telling you.
Big old.
You can afford it, Rupert.
$750.
Surely.
He's burst onto the scene this year, but he hasn't done a lot before that. His body, there's been question marks on that. $750 is a lot
Adelaide
to pay.
Adelaide are missing it. But, and unless we don't see enough of it consistently from the Adelaide small forward.
Someone's reporting in the media today that he's pretty keen to stay up there.
You made that up.
No, it's true.
There's been a change now with that, though. That they look to pay players almost on potential as opposed to what they've done these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a big change. That,
well, it's like ruckman, isn't it? Like, always get overpaid, Rue, because they're over 6 foot
when you
four.
When you find a good one, you really got to hold
spell.
On.
You can't floppy. Start the game without the ruckman, mate. You know it's the most important position on the ground. That's why the umpire says, who's the ruckman here? We've got to start the game.
No, it's because they're that dumb. Right, you jump and just try and hit it somewhere and hopefully it goes to your player.
Have you been suffering from the PRSD source like other ruckman, the post-ruck stress disorder? Well, it's got a lot of symptoms these days from blokes.
No.
It's not good. You're going, you stand on white lines and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I reckon you're
you
still
walk around
suffering.
Supermarkets and you put your hands on stuff.
You are still suffering from Choppy Pickett knocking you out.
There's the bump. Ripping show again. Thanks for having us on, Rupert. We'll send the invoice through directly to you.
Yep, $10.
Thanks, boys.
Rue, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's. The
Friday Night Footy is back at Big Shed Brewing, Adelaide's home of fine brewing with a tap room and kitchen open 7 days a week. Head to www.bigshed.beer to book now.